Most of us have argued that there are no plan assets in a health plan. Often you pay out the claims before you ever get money in from employees to pay the premiums. It's often that you pay it first, then you collect it later. So the argument is there aren't plan assets because all you're doing is getting paid for what you've already, an amount you've already paid for if you're the employer. So there's no pool of assets that belong to the plan. You're just writing checks and receiving reimbursements. So we said no plan assets. If you're not a plan, and in order to be a fiduciary under ERISA, you have to do something with respect to administering and directing and use of the plan assets. Look for the DOL's on the DOL's webpage. They're supposed to post the slides from this presentation. They have authorities in there as to why they believe that health plan sponsors are also health plan fiduciaries. And so that's another thing that they're going to come after. Okay. There are also provisions within these regulations on continuity of care. There is just an amazing amount of information that they have put in here. The emergency service, if I flip back to the emergency services, your emergency service protections end in when you are stabilized. If you walk into the emergency room and you're bleeding, you're not stabilized, they will look and say, and once you're stabilized, they have to give you a notice before they start putting out-of-network providers into your service team. So there's another notice for if you represent hospitals or doctors, they're going to have to be making these disclosures. The other catch that they added in here is enforcement on Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act. First, we had Mental Health Parity Act back in 96. Then they came back, Pete Domenici did not feel it went far enough, and we got the Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act after that. Just make sure that it is designed so that if your medical surgical benefits have a 80-20, 80% plan pays, 20% you pay, then your mental health substance abuse, if you provide any of those benefits, you have to also have them at an 80-20 level. And you have to have, if you put in what we call non-quantitative limitations. Non-quantitative limitations are medical necessity, for instance. You can only have X, that's quantitative, that you can't get certain drugs unless you go through a STEP program to show that you can't use the generic. Those are both non-quantitative limits. If you have any of those, they're now also looking at those. And you have to be doing a study to show that if you impose those kinds of limits on medical benefits, on substantially all medical benefits, then you also impose similar ones, that mental health and substance abuse does not have more stringent ones than you put on the medical. So you've got to have comparable limits. And the catch is, the only people who can really do this test are the people that have the claims data. So employers went along and said, okay, is my design good? Oh yeah, I'm using 80-20 on both. Therefore, it should be right. Well, what the employers don't know is that sometimes the insurer or the third-party administrator is imposing the non-quantitative limits in deciding whether or not a claim gets paid. And those are the ones that they're going after here. And they're making employers produce now a comparative analysis for each limitation. And the Department of Labor has already started this enforcement in February of this year. And so as you go out and look at employers looking at health plans, you need to be making sure that that vendor is doing the comparative analysis for you, because the Department of Labor has been regularly rejecting the simple overview analysis and instead wanting to see the detailed comparative analysis and looking at all the categories are in-network, inpatient, in out-of-network inpatient, in-network outpatient, out-of-network outpatient and prescription drugs, and then there's some other additional subcategories you can use to make sure that you're doing something similar. They went after United Healthcare. United Healthcare's affiliate is United Behavioral Health. They just had a very large settlement against United Behavioral Health for their non-quantitative treatment limitations. They said, okay, so you want a mental health visit. You want to go and talk to somebody. Fine, but they were only reimbursing healthcare providers for providing mental health treatment in-office visits based on each provider's credentials and reducing the pay for some of the providers. So a clinical psychologist wasn't getting as much as an MD. A social worker got less than the clinical psychologist. All of them are doing the same mental health visit. And they just had a huge class action settlement on that. So that's something that, if you're out there talking to employers and they're talking to you about the group health plan, make sure they're going back to their TPA or their insurer and getting copies of the comparative analysis on mental health and substance abuse. Because the Department of Labor is coming out and they want you to produce it very quickly. And this is something that goes into your claims data.